What a joy and delight to gather together in the household of faith. I'm so glad to see each and every one of us here today. And as we do gather, there is a reminder and announcement in the bulletin to participate in the large coffee hour. And if that's something you would like to donate to, sign up for during the large coffee hours, and we would appreciate that. A reminder that our next men's breakfast is on next Saturday, and today is the first. Next Saturday is the, unless that's been changed, I think it's still on the second Saturday of the month. So I'm not sure about this announcement, but let me just skip that one until I know for sure about that one.
That's my fault.
Oh, no, well, okay. No one's fault, but the mission of the month, let's move on to that one here. It's a brand new one for us, and our deacons have chosen the Smith House, and that's located in Schenectady, and as you can see, it's a residential addiction treatment facility to provide support in individuals struggling with substance and use disorders. It's part of the New Choice Recovery Center, and so that will be our mission of the month for March. Sally is will be receiving monies for Easter flowers. And they'll be here before you know it. And you'll notice down below you have the list of services for Easter as we are in the midst of Lent even now. So please plan to reach out to Sally Hemstreet if you would like to have purchase Easter flowers. And then Craig Foote is organizing still greeters and ushers for April. And time beyond that, we do have jars still in the back. If you'd like to participate in taking one for Lent, for some of us who give up something and we save money and giving that up, we'll place that in the jug and perhaps return that to church and it's donation on that. Any other announcements? We have one more, but I'll say that too. Now, I saw Nancy's hand and Craig and then Fran, so if we'll go in that order.
Okay, just a reminder that our craft class is next Saturday.
Next Saturday is craft class. All right. Craig.
Just want to let you know that the March newsletter is in the back if you want a copy to take one with you.
All right. Thank you, Craig. And then Fran. All right, and choir rehearsal right after church, and to sing on the fourth Sunday. We do have a prayer request. We'll mention it again as we trust when we come to prayer, to pray for Ray, who's Scott Neff's brother-in-law, who needs a heart transplant, and if we can keep Ray in our prayers. And then I needed to announce some upcoming health things with me, and I mentioned it to our elders a few weeks ago. That affects my work here. I've been diagnosed with another cancer, a nodular lymphocyte predominant Hodgkin's lymphoma, which means I'll begin chemotherapy next week. It'll be 6 months, twice a month. The only thing, I do not know how that will affect work. It will continue to do full-time work and all. I just don't know how that will affect that. So you needed to know that. And I think that's all. It is a non-aggressive, which is, we're grateful to know that, but we're taking this head on. I will be going down tomorrow to see Parker. We had to tell the boys. Of course, both are having some difficulties with this. So I'll be spending a couple days down there with him. And then I think this weekend, Garrett is coming up. But I'll be working from Maryland tomorrow and Tuesday, and then coming back on that time. Okay. I think that's all the announcements we need to make. Do we have another? Yes.
I was just wanting to clarify the men's breakfast. It says it's next Saturday.
No, it's the 14th.
It's the one after that, right?
Yeah. Right.
Okay.
Right. And yes, thank you. And all right. Any others? Our help is in the name of the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. Let us prepare for worship during this time of prelude. Let us join together in our introit. If you're able to stand with us, we invite you to do so. Now turn your eyes upon Jesus. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in his wonderful face. And the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Our synthesis this morning will take us to Genesis chapter 12 and the first four verses. Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you.
I will make you a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great, so that you will be a blessing.
And I will bless those who bless you, and him who curses you I will curse, and by you all the families of the earth shall bless themselves.
So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran.
Let's continue our worship, please, with our first hymn of praise, hymn number 345, Blessed Assurance.
Of glory in the air. Heir of
Thank you. Please be seated. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake their way and the unrighteous their thoughts. Let them return to the Lord, that he might have mercy upon them, and to our God, that he might abundantly pardon. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we confess that we often walk in the ways of the world rather than your ways. We hunger after things that do not satisfy. We ignore the needs of our neighbors, and we compromise with evil. We doubt your power to protect us and hesitate to take up our crosses. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection. Hear us as we pray. Forgive our lack of faith. Have mercy on our weaknesses. Restore in us such love and trust that we may follow you with renewed hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, in the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all of his benefits, who forgives all of our iniquities, who heals all of our diseases. Beloved people of God, believe this good news, and let us live in the loving kindness of our God.
Lord, have mercy on us. Come and heal our land. Cleanse with your fire. Heal with your touch. Humbly we bow and call upon you now. O Lord, have mercy.
And just before we're seated, let us affirm what we believe. I said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of the saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and of life everlasting. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Hear these words our Lord Jesus Christ have said. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind. This is the great and first commandment. The second one is like to it. You shall love your neighbor as you love yourself. On these two commands depends all of the law and all of the prophets. Amen. Our words of assurance will come to us from Psalm 121.
I lift up my eyes to the hills. From whence does my help come? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. He will not let your foot be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade on your right hand. The sun shall not smite you by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all evil. He will keep your life. The Lord will keep your going out and your coming in from this time forth and forevermore.
This is the word of the Lord. Thank you. Please be seated. Right now, our ministry of music, I believe in a hill called Mount Calvary. You have the words in our bulletin. In these days, during the time of Lent, that we're reminded of that great old rugged cross and cling to that cross. Every now and then, while I'm shortening a sermon, I like to ask questions of why we do certain things during our worship time in church. Because I do not want to take for advantage that all of us know why we do certain things. So I'm going to talk about the prayer of confession now. But I want to introduce it this way. A few days ago, I attended a dance. My wife, Colleen, is a National Junior Honor Society advisor. One of their activities was doing a dance. What was it, snowball dance or something? So I went with her to the dance. She said, you'll be okay because we'll be outside, you're sitting on the table as people are coming in, you take your tickets, you don't have to go in. Okay. I don't dance. Well, I sat there at that table, and every time that blessed door opened to the cafeteria, you heard all this loud music going on. And I made a little toast that I was tempted to go in there and say, shut that music down. I don't like loud music. But one of the things I noticed as people were coming in to the dance was people were kind of crowding together. And if they came in by themselves, they were looking for their friends. They didn't want to stay by themselves. They didn't want to do anything alone. They wanted their friends together. And so when we come to the prayer of confession, as you see in the bulletin, we always have that written out. And you say, why in the world are we saying this prayer together? Because we believe, as Reformed folk, that all of us have sinned. And all of us confess our sins together. And so we say that together. Didn't you notice? There's a little part of that prayer where it says, we spend a few moments in silent prayer and reflection. That's because when you read that prayer, you may be reading that and say, oh, none of that applies to me. But then that little bit of prayer and personal reflection, confession to God, no one else hears. You don't know what I'm praying up there. And that could be a long period of time if you let it remain out. A long time. But only God hears. But we pray together because we as a community of faith recognize all of us are in need of God's mercy. All of us are in need in God's grace. And all of us mess up. There is not a perfect person in this place except for Jesus. And so that's why we do it. That's why we do the prayer of confession and we do it that way. By the way, I would say that I did go inside the room to dance. And I did a couple moves with my cane. And I wanted to do it with Colleen, but she took a look at my moves and she went somewhere. I don't know where she went. I couldn't find out. I looked around that room. She was hiding somewhere. She said, I don't know this guy. Well, we don't do it alone. We do it together. Let us pray. Most gracious God, we thank you that as we gather to worship, we worship a God who loves us. And we do not do that alone. We need each other. And you have made it so that we have each other. So thank you, Father, for that. And Father, I pray that if we continue our worship, that we might know more about you and leave this place loving you more. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Right now we will dismiss our young people to children's church and let's take our hymnals please and turn to our next hymn of praise, hymn number 46.
Children.
Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, for the preciousness of it. And we pray that you will bless your word this morning to our hearing, to our receiving, and to our living. We pray in your most holy name. Amen. Our scripture lesson this morning will come to us from John's Gospel, John chapter 3. We'll read verses 1 through 17. We will talk this morning on the subject, a conversation at night. John chapter 14 and the first 17 verses. There was a man of the Pharisees who named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" And Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I have said to you, you must be born anew. The wind blows where it wills, and you hear the sound of it, but you do not know where it comes or whither it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." Nicodemus said to him, "How can this be?" Jesus answered him, "Are you a teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand this? Truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony." Verse 12, "If I have told you earthly things you do not believe, how would you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven but he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life." And then a very familiar verse that many of us have memorized, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God sent the Son into the world not to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him." A conversation at night. Last Friday, one of my devotions came from Matthew 14. The scripture reading. And the passage was Jesus walking on the water, and the disciples were sent into a boat to the other side. Many of us are familiar with this narrative, and the disciples, some of whom are professional fishermen who were used to navigating the rough seas, these disciples were having a difficult time crossing onto the other side because of a storm that had risen. Yet the scripture says that they were afraid only after seeing Jesus walk on the water. That amazed me when I was reading that. You would have thought that they were kind of upset and afraid while the water was coming in the boat and the wind was blowing and they couldn't, and they were not listening to each other. Row harder, row this way, go this way, none of that. But what they were afraid of was looking at Jesus walking on the water. Back in those days when fishermen would fish as a profession, and many times they would come up on rough seas and storms, they were able to get through it, except for when it got real bad and they were going to be killed in that, they would always say they would see a spirit before that happened. It was like an omen. A spirit walking on the water meant that death is nigh. You're going to die. And imagine the disciples falling for that, thinking about that. You would have thought that they spent time with Jesus. They wouldn't listen to all sorts of fables and wouldn't listen to superstitions, but they did. And they cried out. And we know the story. Jesus was walking and Peter said, "Lord, if it's you, let me walk on the water." And Jesus said, "Come on." Always said when I had heard that text, if I was in that boat with Peter, Jesus would have to say something else more than just "come on." He would have to assure me, "I'll be all right. Come on, you'll be all right. Come on and step on, walk this way." All he said was, "Come on." And Peter stepped over that boat, start walking, and you know the story. As he sunk, Jesus reached out and picked him up. But they were afraid. And I looked up what some Christians are fearful of today. And there are a list of things. Sometimes Christians are fear of looking foolish. We don't want to look foolish in the eyes of those around us. Sometimes we are afraid of cultural and social media and music and Halloween, and often based on beliefs that every item is directly demonic, and we're afraid of different things. Sometimes we're afraid of the unknown and lack of control. If I'm not in complete control, I don't want to know what will go on. I'm afraid of that. Sometimes Christians are afraid of what other people think about us. And we're concerned and consumed about how others perceive us. Sometimes we are afraid of dying. And that might surprise some, but I can tell you there have been times I've had private conversations with believers who said, "Is it really true that when we leave this world, we'll go up to heaven?" And we will go through scriptures to assure, yes, that's absolutely true. But those are genuine fears of some. Our text today tells us of a story of a Pharisee who should have had all the answers. He grew up in church. He had the Sunday school ribbons way back in the South. You might know about those. Up here, I'm not sure, but when you went to Sunday school all the time, you got ribbons, and you wore them to show of your perfect attendance and all the rest. He was in church all the time. He should have known the answers, but he came to Jesus by night, and he had a question. He said, "Master, Rabbi, we know you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these miracles that you do, except God is with you." You see, he came at night because perhaps he did not want anyone else to know he was doing it. Maybe he came at night because he was kind of embarrassed. He didn't want others to laugh at him. And he started out with a compliment. "Jesus, we know that you are a rabbi sent from God, but no one can do the things that you do except God is with him." And notice how Jesus answered him. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of heaven." Boy, that's a strange response, isn't it? I mean, Nicodemus said nothing about the kingdom of heaven. He said nothing about seeing the kingdom of heaven. He said nothing about being born again. And yet Jesus said, "Unless you're born again, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven." It's almost as if Jesus wasn't listening, but I would suggest to you that he was listening. You see, Jesus is able to see what Nicodemus was really after. Nicodemus wanted to kind of soften the conversation and not get to the point, and Jesus got to the point. Nicodemus said, "We know you are a teacher come from God." I kind of wonder who the "we" is. That's not good grammar, I guess. But who's the we? Who's we, Nicodemus? Are you talking about other Pharisees? Are you talking about your friends? Are you talking about yourself? Who's the we? And Jesus said, unless you come, you're born again, you cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. That word born means to give birth to. But what I find interesting is the word see. You shall not see the kingdom of heaven. That Greek word, it means to experience visually. Not just to look at, but experience visually. You won't be able to view it. Never forget, years and years ago, I climbed Mount Marcy in tennis shoes, way back yonder when I was young enough and foolish enough to try it. And I'll never forget the view at the top of that mountain, Mount Marcy, highest peak in New York State. And I looked out and boy, I thought I was in heaven. It was just absolutely gorgeous to have that experience. And Jesus says, no one will ever have that type of experience to see, not only just to see it with your eyes, but to be immersed in it, unless you're born again. So Nicodemus asked a very logical question. He said, I'm a grown man. How can I be born again? How can I enter again into my mother's womb? You see, Nicodemus completely misunderstood what Jesus meant. But you know what? I am so glad he asked that question. Because I want to know that answer too, don't you? How can I be born again? I remember being in school and in the classroom, and the teacher would say something. I wanted to raise my hand, but I didn't want to raise my hand because people would laugh at my stupid question, I thought. But you know, there are no questions that are stupid, especially when you ask of Jesus, because he wants to hear from us. And old Nicodemus said, how can that happen? And Jesus gave the answer. You see, Jesus is able to do things that seems impossible. Creation and nature, that God is able to bend down and dirt and make a form in dirt, poke a couple of holes where the eyeballs will be, a hole where the mouth is, and the side where the ears. And then he can scoop out some dirt from the mouth and breathe into that dust, and all of a sudden it becomes a human being. He could do that all over again by a rib that he took from a man and he made hubba hubba a woman. And then God said, this is good. That's Hebrew, by the way, in case you were wondering. This is good. This is very good. God can do the impossible. God can cause miracles to happen. We're going to be praying for Ray, and we pray for Ray this morning. And we're praying for a miracle to happen, that he'll have a heart. We realize, sadly, that in order to have a heart transplant, that someone else has to die. So we pray for all involved. But we pray for miracles. God is a miracle-working God. You see, Jesus is able to do this. How can someone be born again? Jesus said it this way in verse number 5. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. Water and spirit. The Greek text says, born of water and of the spirit. Ek udatos kai pneumatos. Ek hydratos kai pneumatos. Ek means out of. Out of water, out of the Spirit, because of the water, because of the Spirit. And the water is not the, as some think, that water that's in the birth canal when we're physically born and the water breaks and I'll stop there because we don't need it no more. But that water, that spiritual water symbolizes the work of God and the act of salvation. The spiritual part of water and spirit speaks of the doctrine of regeneration, the Holy Spirit making us children of God. And he does that all by himself, not because of any other means, or water and the spirit. And then Jesus went on to say this. And by the way, one of the things I noticed in this passage, when Nicodemus was talking with Jesus, at no point did Jesus say to Nicodemus, man, that's a silly question. Shame on you. You should have known all this. You're a Pharisee and all that. Jesus never did that. You know what Jesus went on to say? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. You see, Nicodemus wanted to know about the kingdom of God, whether he's going to make it up there. How can he make it up there? Jesus said, this is how. God loves you. And God loves you so much that he was willing to die. I love that picture behind me. It is a depiction of Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying hard. Get me out of the way of dying. But I'll do it if you want me to. And I'm so glad he did. And I'm so glad he died for us and for the world, not just those of us in this room, but all over the world, that we will not perish, that we will have eternal life. And all that we need to do is believe that which God has done for us, for God so loved the world. My heart grieved as I was writing this sermon, and part of it I finished yesterday. And I had the news, and I was watching the news and all the events that's happening in Iran, Israel, and Qatar. And I think about all the other things that's happening in our world today, and the brokenness that's happening. Thank God for God's love for his world, but he did not leave it there. He said to his disciples, by this shall all men know that you are mine, that you have love one for the other. And I kind of wonder, what type of love is he talking about? Is it just tolerating each other, putting up with each other? Kind of smiling when we're face to face, but man, when we are away, I'll tell you about that Kent McCurdy. Is he talking about that type? No, he's talking about the type of love that God had when he gave his only begotten Son. May God grant you and I to show forth that love in a world, especially even today, that desperately need to see something different, something genuine, and something that brings about grace and love to God. Thanks be to God for his unending grace. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, also for the grace of God that allowed Nicodemus to come in the quietness of one night and have a conversation with Jesus, and to learn from that conversation that you love him and that you love the world and you gave yourself for him. Help us through this time of Lent to keep that in the forefront of our mind and understanding. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Just before our ushers gather to receive our tithes and our offerings, let us prepare for the Lord's Supper that we propose to celebrate on this next Lord's Day. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, we propose to celebrate together by the gracious help of God the sacrament of the Lord's Supper this next Lord's Day. Our conscience has rightly declared us unworthy of this gift, for we have neither loved the Lord our God with our whole heart and soul and mind, nor have we loved our neighbors as ourselves. To examine our lives is to confirm that we deserve exclusion from this royal banquet and indeed from life forevermore. Yet this is a feast of love. God, it was in love that Christ gave himself for us. It was in love that Christ made us worthy. When we should have justly died as punishment for our sins, Christ freely paid our penalty, dying in our place and become our complete righteousness. Therefore, our self-examination must not end in despair, for we are what God has made us, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Partaking at the Lord's table is not an act of virtue. This table will prepare for those who humbly trust Christ alone and find in his death, resurrection, and ascension their only peace. Though we often fail in our efforts, those who thus approach this table will desire to please God, conforming our lives to God's purposes. God will forgive us our sins and make us worthy partakers of his heavenly kingdom. Therefore, as we examine ourselves, let us confess our sins. Let us pray. Almighty God, we have sinned against you and one another in thought, word, and deed, in what we have done and in what we have left undone. Therefore, we pray in silence before you. Hear us as we pray. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are and direct what we shall be through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our gracious God forgives us of our sins and strengthens us by his Holy Spirit and will keep us to life eternal through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Right now, we invite our ushers to come as we receive our tithes and our offering. Thank you for the opportunity to receive these gifts. We ask our blessing upon them. In Christ's most holy name we pray. Amen. Amen. Let us pass the peace. share our peace and greetings one with the other. And that's wonderful. And we already mentioned to pray for Ray, Scott Neff's brother-in-law, who's looking for a new heart.
Son-in-law.
I said brother-in-law, didn't I? Son-in-law. Thank you. I heard an angelic voice say just a moment ago. And others. Yes, Gloria. Yes, continue to pray for George and look forward to him coming back. I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
That's it.
Okay. And Gloria, what was the first name you mentioned?
Mark Hirschfeld.
Oh, Mark Hirschfeld.
Mark Hirschfeld, thank you.
He's amazing.
My daughter's husband.
Okay, thank you. And I see Gloria, then I see Christy and Farmer. Oh, Gloria, I'm sorry. Gracia.
Last week I asked prayers for Leslie and Randy. Leslie went home to be with the Lord a week ago today, this afternoon, and that was a praise. As hard as it is for the family, prayers for Randy, the husband. They were married 52 years.
Wow. 52 years.
But he shared, I'm going to share this with you because I think it's a testimony and a blessing at the same time. He was holding her in his arms. And as he was telling me, I said to him, I said, how precious. From your arms into the arms of Jesus. That's where she went. And I'm thankful for that.
Yes. Thank you for sharing that. Christy.
I would like prayer requests for Dominic's father, Jeff.
And just pray for Jeff. God knows why. If we can keep Jeff in our prayers.
Prayers for our troops and our pastor.
Yes.
I heard troops and I didn't know.
You. Our pastor.
Oh, and our pastor. Oh. He obviously needs some. I can't, who said he's old? Yeah, all right. Longer sermon and make it on Larry. All right. Yes, Linda.
A friend of mine, her name is Judy. She's having very difficult family problems. They all need prayer.
Keep Judy in our prayers.
Yes, thank you.
And then I saw Larry's hand.
Prayers for Bob, who has some health issues.
Pray for Bob, who has health issues. Are there any others? Somebody, Ray, up high there. I saw pointing. Where in the world are you pointing? Yes.
Pray for Brenda, who has a very severe cold.
Pray for Brenda. A severe cold. Okay. Well, I love this. Wow, praying one for the other. Are there any others? Larry, I already told you I'm old, so wave. No, okay. Oh, I see you, Don.
We should have continuous prayers for Carl.
For?
For Carl.
Carl. Yes, yes, yes. And Carl Snitzer's still need our prayers. Are there any others? Yes.
Iran and Israel.
Yes. Yes. Are there any others? Let's go to the Lord in prayer, shall we? It was read very well this morning, Father. I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills from where our help comes from, Psalm 121. And Father, right now we are doing just that. We're lifting up our eyes toward heaven because we know that's where our help comes. Our help does not come from each other. Although we are helpful, we try to be. Our help doesn't come from each other. Our help doesn't even come from ourselves. Our help comes from you, maker of heaven and of earth. And Father, we cry out to you for mercy and grace and help and healing and necessities and needs. All of these that we have heard, we remember. We remember Brenda and Carl and Ray, and Mark, and George. We remember Leslie, and Judy, and Bob, and Jeff. We remember our military. Remember those who have died and are under attack even right now in Iran and Israel and Qatar. We remember, Father, glorious son-in-law, we mentioned Mark Hartfelt, not wanting to forget anyone. We remember Carl. And Father, we remember those that we perhaps did not mention their name out loud, but you know them. When healing is needed, Holy Father, bring healing. When answers to prayer and guidance and direction and encouragement is needed, Father, lend these to these beloved ones of whom we lift before you. Father, when there's unbelievable sorrow and death happening, even now in this place right now, we don't hear the sirens going on. We don't hear the bombs. We don't hear the wailing and the crying and the agonizing. We don't hear any of these things, but it's happening. We don't hear the cries of loneliness to those who think that no one else cares about them. And there's just absolutely no help. We pray, Father, for these. Father, Randy's opportunity to hold Leslie as you took her into your presence. We do the same as we walk on this earth, trusting in you until we are in your presence. I ask, Father, that you will hear our prayers as we will bring them before the throne of your grace, that you will give help and healing and ministry of grace, we pray in your most holy name. Hear us as we spend a few moments in silent prayer. We remember the words you taught us to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom and the glory, forever. Amen. Let us take our hymnals, please, and turn to our last hymn of praise. I'd rather have Jesus than anything. Gracious to you. May the Lord lift his countenance upon you and grant you peace.